Hey everyone, this is the Handmaid's Tale After Show. We're talking mood stabilizers, muffins, and scotch. It's like two out of three of my favorite things. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Yeah. Okay. Hey, 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 and we're back. Woo! Hey, guys. Long time no see. Life kind of fell apart in the middle of July. welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Mm-hmm. I'm Adrienne Snow. We're going to be talking all the fun stuff today, including the Resist Sister, the news, and we're talking... I should say this because I'm a little out of practice, but anyways... We're talking season 3, episode 10, The Witness. All right, I'm Adrienne Snow, and to my left is the wonderful, as always, welcome back, been here forever, Veronica Barriga.
Yeah! Oh, I get a round of applause.
Look at that!
I love that! Hey, everyone.
All right, and to the left of her, always speaking nothing but the truth, Miss Lauren Hubbard.
Yeah!
What's up? And then to the left of her, normally you would see a male presence, but we're all estrogen today. So give it up for Miss Kitty Kaboom.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, wow. yes. You guys, so wonderful to be back. Sorry, I fell ill to, you know, being human and everything. But let's go right into it. So just first thoughts.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Last week was a... doozy of a snorer. So it was nice to see that they stepped up their game.
A doozy of a snorer.
Yeah, I mean, they were in one hospital the whole time, and she's losing her mind and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
That's how I felt
just
about
a regular day Gillian.
Accurate. So it was very... I was pleasantly surprised to see this show take on a life of its own and mm-hmm. have all kinds of twists and turns that we normally come to expect with it.
Yes. Even the people are saying... back on track, and that's completely what I felt like. I felt like this episode has gotten us back on track mm-hmm. to the normal Handmaid's Tale, mm-hmm. to what we normally see, and we finally got some excitement going. So now we might actually see the resistance begin, or pick up speed, I should say. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed this episode. It was dark. It was hurting me in mm-hmm. some scenes, but overall... very well written. Good job, guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But by the way, it was literally dark. Like, I was watching during the day, and I couldn't see my television, and I tried to adjust it. Just a side note, like, I get it. It's a style, right, that they're going for, but it was a little too dark. I had to, like, brighten my television. And anyway, but that's... okay, I'm all right.
What'd you think of it, then?
Aside from that, yeah. It was good. You know, I've been, Adrian, waiting years for some sort of resistance, right?
Yeah.
I'm ready for this. And June raging war, essentially, against this land, this space. Yeah. I'm ready for it, so I'm excited.
Good. Yeah, I like this episode. I feel like I don't really think she need to go through all that or, you know, everything that happened, yeah. which I wasn't here to discuss, so I'm not going to discuss it now, but you know how I feel. You probably know how I feel. And yeah, I didn't like Aunt Lydia. Anyway, I didn't think it necessarily merited her going through all that to get to this point. I feel like just by existing for what we confirmed is 5 years in Gilead would have been enough to get her to that point. But,
right.
you know, whatever. I'm not in the writer's room, so if you want to hire me.
Hire us.
All of us.
Available.
That would be great.
That would be amazing.
Anywho, so let's just go right into it. So there were really mainly two storylines, but let's just like briefly touch on the Marthas and the Handmaids. Like, I know we're going a little bit out of order, but... their recruitment mm-hmm. into June's new resistance is kind of been toyed with for a while, but you kind of see it like taken on full throttle with the appeal of finding children. So how do we feel about that?
Well, I appreciate how careful they are, because June seems to just, you know, think everything's a marvelous idea and be like, I got an idea, let's go, and not think of repercussions. And, you know, that's hard to watch sometimes. But I appreciate how everyone's kind of like warning her, and they're like, hey, maybe this is not the best thing. They're going to hang you. You're going to be dead. Like, are you okay? But then, you know, they reach out anyway, because mm-hmm. there is some sense of... partnership or you know, sisterhood or whatever you want to call it, and then they you know, they get the muffins.
Yeah. The muffins made me very happy. Yeah. The muffins made me extremely happy. And I just want to point something else because it's something that I hadn't thought about. You're absolutely right. I'm so pissed at June that this season she just kind of goes willy-nilly and does whatever and she gets no consequences. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. This is not the Gilead that we know and love.
Right.
But at the same time, I was reminded she's kind of losing her shit. Mm-hmm. So that probably has a lot to do with it. Like little tweaks here and there. She's lucid. Everything is everything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, she'll just kind of be like, I'm fine. I'm fine. You're like, yeah, no, you're not. So I think that a part of that is why she's just haphazardly been like, I'm on a new mission. Okay?
Yeah.
I let my baby, I put Nicole in the truck. I walked away from that life. I know why I'm here. I've had to tell my husband to please do me this solid against my entire will. So, I mean, the things that she's had to take on internally,
right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, they make anybody crazy. Yeah. So she's slowly but surely losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get. Because there's nothing to lose, right, at this point. That's exactly. where she is. So
yeah. No, I... we don't really get to see a lot about the Marthas. You know, we only get to see the Waterfords Martha and announce a little bit of the Lawrence Marthas. But other than that, it's all about the Handmaids or Serena and Fred. Mm-hmm. So this time to actually see they were willing to come together to get the kids out, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think, oh, they're the Marthas. They're going to be obedient, mm-hmm. you know.
No. But actually, though... the Marthas be straight up resisting.
They
the crap
do a lot of
like they're the reason
aggressive.
Why Nicole and Emily were able to get out because they set up the whole system
that
of
is true. Trying,
like getting them
that
out.
That is true. Okay, yeah, we did see that, but it's like I said, we only see a few. We don't see them when they're all together, so we don't know what they're whispering about. We don't know what's going on in their heads. So to finally see for them to be reached out to and they say yes, we will get the kids out. I thought that was awesome. I was like. Yeah. What? All those muffins? Because it starts small and then it goes to a large frame and you're like, wow.
Well, I knew from the look on her face that it had to be a lot of muffins. Yeah. She was literally just standing there in awe in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And do you mind if this is totally your job, so please tell me if I'm overstepping, but I got a question for everybody. Thank you so much. I gotta know what you guys think about the fact that the Marthas, yes, we finally see what they're collectively thinking and all the rest of that, but who believes that June is really going to be able to get these babies out? Like, is this a ridiculous plot or what?
Well, I'll say this, because the way that they're kind of, mirroring, like, Harriet Tubman. And the way that her system worked was by a collection of people working together and separately all at the same time. So if June is like the Harriet Tubman.
Oh, Lord!
You would not. She would not.
I love it.
Gilead, right?
We get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
We get it.
If it's basically working an underground network to get these children out, and that's kind of what they set up. Like, we could have a whole separate special about race relations and how they've dealt with race this season and how they finally acknowledge it, but they barely acknowledge it and all that kind of stuff, because I'm really angry about it. I'm happy. I'm sad I wasn't here for those two episodes. But at the same time, like, that's, if you think about how that system worked and how the Underground Railroad worked, she could, it can't just be her by herself. No,
at
all.
No, of course not.
But in terms of, like, organizing it and making sure the system's in place to get people networking and talking to each other, she can definitely do that.
Yeah.
But my thing is, you know how she said, I think the van fits 10 or something. Mm-hmm. Once... if they do successfully, let's just say, get 10 kids out on the first try, so an adult has to go with them 100%.
But you said we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes. So. But this is my thing. We saw how hard it was for Emily to get out with baby Nicole.
Right.
And under the ocean, I mean, not the ocean, the riverbank and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, one, how are they going to do that with 10 kids? And then two, let's say they do successfully get those 10 kids out. Once they realize 10 kids and possibly a Martha's gone, they're shutting shit down.
No, and I think that's the thing as well. So it wouldn't be able to work as like an underground railroad type of situation.
Yeah.
By the time that was happening, I mean, Harriet Tubman died in like the early 1900s. So when she was operating the system, she was already at the time where slavery was on its way out.
Oh, that's right. Interesting.
You know what I mean? So there would have to be something where it's like a mass group and they all like get a bunch of them out.
At the same time.
At the same time.
And never look back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't do that whole let's creep in, let's get a few. Because
no.
they're going to look
Because they're going to notice children missing.
Of course. That's the first thing they're going to notice. Yeah.
You know what? Night Slasher. I'm going to call you out. He said Harriet Tubman isn't that crazy to do that crap. Sir.
What?
He's talking about get them out of the...
He said Harriet Tubman, isn't that crazy to do that crap?
No, Harriet Tubman isn't that crazy to do that crap. Like, to get the kids out the Handmaid's Tale.
I don't even understand.
He's basically saying she not going to do it. Not June, but like saying her. Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is, she got all the slaves out, so yes, she could. She could get the kids out of Gilead.
I mean, this isn't a history channel. If you want to learn about Harriet Tubman, you can go see a movie now. Actually, anyhow,
I just the whole thing for me was like, how do you shut shit? We're allowed to cuss, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
How do you shut shit down, right?
There we go.
How do you do that? Beep. Yeah, I wrote this down. So you take their greatest resources, right? So when you want to take over a country or, a society, you go in there, usually a military, usually the United States, mm-hmm. but we won't sidetrack. But you take their greatest resources. And in Gilead, the greatest resources is the children because that is the future, right? Essentially, you cannot exist if you cannot procreate, obviously.
And that's what they offer to the world is their system of procreation.
Oh, my God. And so, anyway, I just thought it was so brilliant because June, as crazy as she has unraveled up until this point, she still understands how to get them and get them good and hit them where it hurts. And so,
she's successful.
I have hope.
I'm trying to be an optimist.
We'll see. We still have three more episodes to go. But let's just go ahead and get back on track. So that's kind of where we're at with the Marthas and the Handmaids. Let's just go right into... first, before we go into the Waterfords, I just want to say thank you guys so much for watching AfterBuzz.
And
being here, even though I've been totally sick for the past 2 weeks. Anyways, that's just me doing a Cher impression. Do you have any thoughts, Lauren?
Yes, I do. Since Adrian said, we just want to thank you guys all for watching. So if you're watching us right now, make sure to give us a thumbs up. Leave a comment on YouTube. Subscribe if you're listening to YouTube. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Leave a comment on there as well. Because we're so happy you're tuning in. We couldn't do this without your support. And thank you guys so much for making AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV Talk.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Please subscribe, rate, comment, YouTube.
Share the link.
Get into the conversation.
Spread the word.
LiveJournal, MySpace, whatever decade you're currently living in.
But there is no MySpace. I do want to make one comment, though. Like you said, take away the greatest resource.
Sure.
Has anyone else noticed that everyone is giving birth to baby girls? What about the boys? So even if they take the girls away, no one can reproduce. So that is yes, but we only see baby girls being born. We never
they
hear about
baby
boys.
That's not true. Conrad was a boy. The one that got hit by the car? Sorry to jump ahead.
But he was before.
So you're saying recently?
Recently.
No, that's a good observation.
They do have boys, though. Like, we've seen boys running around.
They bring
so
them
that's,
all together.
They do
yeah.
have a lot of girls.
But it does seem like it's a lot more girls than
But
boys.
I think that's mm-hmm. also might be just what they're what the show itself
Focus
is focusing on.
Yeah. True.
Let's go into the Waterfords. So... I guess they're just chilling in Washington, D.C. in a condo or a high-rise or whatever.
Wow, they think they're hot.
Why are they still on the show is my question. Like, obviously, they make for a great storyline, so I know why.
Mm-hmm. And baby Nicole.
Right, but I can't stand them.
I think this is the episode where I finally wrote, I'm ready for Fred to die.
Yeah, I'm ready for them both to die.
It's good.
I wish Sierra would kill herself. I'm sorry, Serena would kill herself.
And oh,
I would,
no.
Yeah, Jeez. Go off in a fire. Just, like, your whole neck.
Kill yourself.
Ridiculous. Kill yourself, girl. You deserve it.
Well, June tried to last episode.
And let your husband get blown up in some, like, I was a martyr for Gilead. Because that's how you want to go out anyway. And like a flame of glory. So whatever.
But you know what? They're about to be tested. And something is about to happen. Because that end note with Serena telling him, like, hey, you better get it together. Let's get our focus back on what matters.
Was a huge mistake on her part.
Right.
Oh,
she thinks it was a mistake.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. Okay, why?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Tell me. Yes. So first of all, the man who gave her the phone, I thought personally he kind of had a little crush on her and he really wanted to get her out of that world. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to kidnap a baby and bring him back to, to Gilead.
So she's misled in that instance.
And that's your one thing to get out. Why would you show your husband who's ruler over Gilead?
I think what she's trying to do is get Fred to turn, because I think for her,
that's not happening.
The most important thing is to get to Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what she's, especially even like, I mean, we all know where I'm at, where I stand with Serena, which is I don't care about her. But with what she's witnessed with what Fred did in terms of
cutting off her finger?
Well, no, not even that. With what happened the night before in terms of bearing witness.
Right.
That kind of was like, you know what? Maybe we should just go to Nicole. Nicole doesn't have to come to us. Mm-hmm. So I think her giving the phone and saying all you have to do is give them something they can use is her way of saying, like, maybe it's time for us to get out.
That's so naive. That's so naive.
You think that's funny?
And even with the preview, you see them driving off in a car. Like, you get the impression that for her, that she thinks she can get him to turn.
I don't see it.
And I don't think she realizes that her husband is in no way the man he used to be.
Okay. How does she not realize that he literally ordered her finger to be cut off?
But she didn't realize it then.
And she didn't realize it then, but once that happens, how do you assess
because
in your own mind?
Because he's a psychopath and he's deceptive.
How do you, as a married woman, I don't care what... Common sense. I mean, there has to be something that kicks in at some point that says, you know what? I need to self-preserve. This is what's happening to me. I've had a full-on breakdown. I was ridden with depression. I went to my mom's house. Yeah. Like, it got bad there for a minute. I wasn't sure I was going to see the light. But I did because Nicole emerged.
Okay.
And so now I'm so hard-pressed to make Nicole happen that I'm going to make myself delusional to believe that this man, who is capable of so many horrible things, would go along with my plan.
That's a great point, and I don't even think I don't know if I agree with you, because I'm not sure that Serena's ready to leave this world. I mean, if anything will make her do that, I think it could be Nicole. Like, that would be the one thing that'll make her, you know, switch, but I don't know. I mean, you think she's ready to just leave it all?
Nope.
For her daughter,
that would be the one thing.
That would be the exception. So I agree with you. I think she, when she did say, give Fred the phone and say, give them something that they can use, I agree. I think she's saying, work with them, give them a little more information about this government so we can get our baby back. I don't know if that necessarily means going to Canada, but it definitely means helping them, helping the other side to get her baby, but I think she's stupid if she thinks he's actually going to do that.
I don't think there's any other way that you can come to your husband and say, like, hey, perform this treason against your country without having to go and join the country that you're giving the treason to. Like they're turning treason on.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly.
They have to do that.
I get it, but at the same time, it's kind of like you said, she's going to do anything for her baby. But my thing is, if he leaves and he goes to Canada, I feel like someone will find them and they'll probably try and kill them.
He's not going to leave. I don't see that. He's going to turn on her.
Because he turns on her all the time. But in terms of Fred and his behavior towards June.
Wow.
This episode. What are your thoughts on that?
That was priceless. And I couldn't wait to hear her retort, and it hit right on the head. It was perfect. He just kind of moseys on up there, and it's just like, yeah. So I know I put that bid in with you earlier by Washington, D.C., and you shut that down, and that's why we made all of this happen. But there's still a chance for you yet, girl. If you like what I like, then you should come through. You all right? And she was just like, I'm just glad it wasn't you.
He is so gross.
He's disgusting.
He's disgusting.
No, but as disgusting as he is, he's still this much under the new guy.
Winslow?
Yes, that's his name. Thank you, Winslow from SUV. From Law & Order. That's where I know him from. That's from Law & Order.
Did you say SUV?
Yes.
I love it. SVU.
SVU!
You know what?
Thank you.
I thought that was disgusting, too. It was like a power move. It's like, don't want to come to D.C. with me? Great. I'll make a visit to your house. Make sure you have sex. And, y'all aren't just going to close the door and pretend. We're going to have a doctor show up to check it. And I know you hate Serena. I'm not taking up for her. But even she thought that was a bit too far. She was like, you really think that's necessary? And then that's when Winslow shut it down and said, If he can't be fit to run his house, he definitely can't be fit to run Gilead. So I think they're just disgusting together. Mm-hmm. That was the scene I was talking about that hurt to watch.
Cringy.
Because it's just like, they might as well have been in the room and literally, and yes. And Lawrence even made the comment, are you going to be in the bedroom with us too? Mm-hmm. I thought that was utterly disgusting. Ugh. Like, we're going to sit downstairs in your home until you finish having sex with her.
Well, to ensure that
you're raping her. It's a power move. Yeah. It's a power move. And that was crazy to watch the dynamic when the doors actually closed. I was like, okay, this is a little bit less distressing. I mean, still very distressing, but I was like, at least they're not there, you know, in the room. That's too much. But then, you know, to see how it kind of played out with Joseph Lawrence, just immediately... Well, oh, Dina, I want to jump there. Sorry,
before
sorry.
Before we do all of that...
I know, it's a lot, yeah.
Let's just make sure we've done everything with Serena and Fred.
Oh, yeah. sure, sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by Fred's behavior. I think, you know, whenever they show him be having any kindness towards Serena, I think they like to remind us that he's still, like, unscrupulous, as I think the word I'm looking for. And he'll do whatever is in his best interest.
Right.
And I also thought it was interesting because you see Winslow checking Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she speaks with somewhat... what of an authority
a little bit
that's been given to her given to her bunny ears given to her by Fred mm-hmm. at the behest of June
right,
but even Fred is kind of like, oh well, like in his mind as she's doing it, you can even see him going, well, this is a courtesy, like don't
there's no equality,
don't get
right
it.
Like you don't get it twisted,
yeah,
you're doing too much, you're overstepping your bounds, and you know this. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't have to come behind you. Like, if I'm allowing you mm-hmm. this little bit of egregious wiggle room, then just suck it up and take it for what it
but
is.
I
don't try to, like,
at the same time, Serena was always in a position of power before Gilead.
Exactly.
She was the mover and the shaker,
which is so amazing to watch mm-hmm. her, who she was, and then to see her this little presence.
Well, she's now, though. But at the same time, I think that is why she ended up asking or offering him the phone at the end. Mm-hmm. It was a power move, but she doesn't realize how far from power she has gone.
Her feeling of equality is a facade, and mm-hmm. Fred is playing into that because he knows it makes his wife feel happy, and so he'll pretend to give her power. But
right.
when it comes down mm-hmm. to it, there is no equality. It's his world. It's a man's world, and you know, and he is, like you said, he's a selfish person. He doesn't care, I think, about his wife. It's about his wants, his desires, his mm-hmm. needs. Yeah.
But the sad part is, it is completely a facade because Serena saw the conversation that Fred had with June. He saw her be like, you know, when how hurt his face was whenever June was like, at least it wasn't you. He heard that conversation, so she's like, okay, this was all a ploy because you were mad she didn't come back
That's
with us.
Right.
Because the whole time, Fred is obsessed with June.
He really is.
And Serena finally sees it, and even though she knows he's not shit, she's still like, wow, after everything we've been through, you're still trying to get with the handmaid, and I'm right here
exactly.
by your side after everything. So I think she knows she really doesn't have any more power and that the whole equality thing is fake, but she's like, she's lying to herself.
Mm. Yeah.
She's lying to herself because she knows deep down her opinion is invalid, but she's pretending like it is.
Yeah.
Or trying to use his power, to get what she wants.
I think she thinks that she can manipulate him somehow into being on her side because they have history, because they were in love and really, it appeared, had a genuine respect for one another when they were married before all this went down. And I think that she thinks that she can tap into that part of him, but that's gone. That's dead.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone,
Gone with her finger.
Oh, poor Pinky.
Are there any final thoughts on the Waterfords before we move on?
Just that they're disgusting and I hope they die.
Agreed. I just want to say, I think Fred's going to get worse because now that he's around more powerful, in the DC, that thing is intoxicating. And, you know, he sees this guy, the way he walks around, the way he owns the handmaids, the way, you know, they got the wires in their mouth. I think we're going to see a darker side of Fred.
And they did say that there were, tongue-tied, they were rolling out the veil and the ring, but that the veil is voluntary. So I was like, huh.
Oh, their new house is nice as hell.
The Veil and the Ring?
The Lawrences.
I'm not here. Yeah.
So the, I think it was, oh gosh, when they went to Washington, D.C. and the girl had the ring.
Oh, you're calling them rings?
They call it the ring. Oh, and then the veil is when you cover it.
Yeah, yeah. The ring.
Oh,
yeah,
what cute shut. Little names. Here I am associating that with marriage. How silly.
I did think of a ring. I thought about
I'm like, the veil,
too.
The ring, marriage? We get married.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Don't you gotta love, but you gotta love the writers for their creativity.
It's well thought
out. And it's so well done. Like, this is really.
Certain aspects of the writing are very well done.
Amazing.
But I digress.
Let's go into, well, like, just to kind of, like, ease into the Lawrences. I did want to talk about that moment between Eleanor and Serena. So.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand where this, like, moment of empathy came from, Serena. Is it because she was aware that.
The moment of what?
When empathy. She goes to hold. Eleanor's hand after the ceremony.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting that she's showing this empathy towards Eleanor for because I didn't see it coming because
really?
She's
I did.
A crazy bitch.
Don't you remember how she felt sad after she tricked her to go on the walk to see Hannah? She was like, okay, actually I realized
Eleanor and Serena.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No. I saw it coming only because we keep giving June the benefit of the doubt, the same way we do with Lydia. Oh, Lydia gives her a hug. Oh, Lydia's telling her, you're such a good girl. She also sticks a cattle prodder in her side. These women, these people are not to be believed to be whoever they even think they are. My point is, I totally saw that coming because this is how she works. This is how she manipulates things. And the wife is her...
Her peer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so in some ways, it's not like she's going to June and being like, oh, baby, you all right? It's more like, I know what's going on and I know this is difficult for you. I can't say all that. Mm-hmm. I can't actually empathize with you, but I can be in cahoots in terms of like, I can reach out enough to let you know that I'm fake here for you.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? It is fake, right? Not enough to move things.
I didn't get the sense that it was
fake.
Just
in the moment.
Because it wasn't something she had to do. I was just curious as to why.
Well, she kind of did.
And maybe they'll explain it.
No, because they want everybody to get. They want to keep the facade going, right? So she kind of did have to do it because she wanted to be able to. The men have, without saying it out loud, I get the impression that they pressure them without words to just be like, just get along to get along.
I think you mean...
So you're a wife, go talk to the other wife.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when you say fake, you mean like just in the moment and she's not going to carry that and care for
that
her
is exactly
outside
I mean.
Of that situation.
That is
okay.
exactly...
Right?
I didn't think it was motivated by like a fake... I mean, I think she genuinely felt it in that moment, just as she may have in other moments, just as
but
she was overcome with emotion
her,
with Nicole.
You know, back
home. She's not about to hold you down and get your mood stabilizers back.
Yeah, so let's just go right into that then. So we get to see June come back after all this time, I guess a month and a half, probably at this point, to the Lawrences, and that they have the remodel of the house. They have to fall more in line. Joseph is attending more meetings, and Eleanor is becoming increasingly unstable.
Right,
which is when we're introduced to the whole idea of scones mean no, muffins mean yes.
Right.
So it's just kind of interesting to step back into this world, and because it seems like things are falling apart for the Lawrences, they seem to be softer towards June. What were your guys' thoughts on that?
The relationship with June?
That they're...
Yeah.
Because they're so fragile, and even June says it because he's afraid, and, you know, fear is something that you can...
Is a great motivator.
Just on that, I don't know if... I mean... Sorry, I don't know if it's exactly what you asked, but I do want to say that I feel like it's ignorant of Lawrence, Joseph Lawrence, to feel like this pretending or this, you know, world that he's living in, which is not aligned with what is going on the outside, could last so long before it could fall apart. So that I don't know. So now it's starting to fall apart, but... I don't know. I just like it seems a little ignorant and weird that he thought that he could get away with it for so long, and now it's all starting to like you should have seen this coming. Like you should have, you know. I don't know if it means sleeping with handmaids. I don't know what it means, but you should have tried a little harder to make it seem like you were playing this role, opposed to just sitting back and being like, whatever. I'm going to drink my scotch.
Yeah, June even says it. She was like, you built this world. How long did you think it would take before it caught up to you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is crazy that he didn't think he would ever. You don't produce any babies after four handmaids. That is gonna look a little weird. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And I know he didn't want to have sex because of his wife, and she's so unstable. But it's just like you know, maybe try with one of them, because now people are in your house, and she even said, you know, this is gonna happen again, right? Mm-hmm. So now they're gonna be forced to do it. And I just feel like that's going to change the whole dynamics of everything.
Of course. I have one word in answer to that. Entitlement. He built this town. They relied on him for so much of, like, literally, like, the physical, how they set the houses up and what streets go where and how the things are. So he was the ringleader in this whole situation. And maybe there was a great fantasy that this is going to be a better world. And we're going to make, and then it turned sour. And once it turned sour, he was like, well, you know what? I did my best, but I'm kicking my feet up at this point. And the fact that nobody came to his door and was like, what do you think you're doing? You have to be down with the cool kid. Like, we're over here kicking ass based on what you created.
You have to still pretend
nobody
to play the
held
role.
Him accountable initially. Right. So you created this town so that everybody here has you to thank, and they're not bothering you once you decide that you don't actually want to be down with the town initially. So for him to be disillusioned like that, I do think it's very bad on his part. I mean, I think it's ignorant on his part, but it's entitlement. He didn't believe, like a hustler, like a drug dealer that hustles. They don't ever think that they're going to get caught.
Yeah, I think it speaks to where everyone's line is drawn. So for the Lawrences, I think they were on board when it was a pious endeavor, right?
Right.
You know, when it was something that, you know, if you are sinners and you'll be punished, and if you are pious and believe in the Lord, then you shall be, you know,
exalted.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been in church forever. I would be dead already in Gilead. But I think that with that in mind, he figured, well, I don't agree with this aspect. And I forget who he's modeled after in the actual Holocaust, but there was somebody who helped establish concentration camps and how they were going to run. But then when
he ended up saving people.
Well, and not even that, but I think he ended up kind of like turned on Hitler because he realized that what he had envisioned versus the reality of it was much harsher.
Is that Schindler's List?
No.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Wrong movie.
But I think it's kind of the same thing where, you know, I think in his mind it was like, well, we can have people do hard labor, which will slowly kill them. That because he was the creator of the mines,
right?
You know, we can have the standard of living where we have maids and situations like that. And they're probably like, and yeah, we can also have sex with women through this rape that we do monthly to ensure that we procreate. And he's probably like, ooh,
hadn't thought about that. That might work.
I don't know about that. I don't think that's something I want to do. Mm-hmm. But he can't say that because he's already in.
You know, what I mean? That's my point.
Yeah. And at the same time, that doesn't exclude him. And even when June was like, well, maybe he could get out with his wife, the first thing I thought was, well, he's a war criminal. And then to have his wife say it, I was like, oh, well, yeah, you can't.
I didn't know until she said that. Yeah, but I didn't know he was a war criminal. But, I mean, it makes sense. That's how he was able to decide what goes where.
If you overthrow your country.
I love that his wife called him a war criminal. Yeah. And she was not shy about it.
Not at all. This man's a devil. He would deserve it.
It is interesting to think that you could negotiate in a way where you could be, what's the word, like pardoned or you know.
You could get a lower sentence.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If he brings the kids, maybe he's a changed man. Or like he said, I would be a hero. And then how ironic is that? It's like, oh gosh, that's crazy. But
I mean, there were a lot of Nazis who turned over to the U.S. government and helped them. So, you know.
I don't know. Yeah. I just had a fantasy that they would let the kids escape, and then that Lawrence would just, like, you know, put himself on the line like that, exactly. Boom, boom, boom.
Blades of glory.
And then it would be like poetic justice. I don't know. That's where my mind goes, but, you know.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, right. I'm an idealist.
Not at all. All right, well, let's kind of wrap that up. Any final thoughts on the Lawrences in June? I did want to say that pervy doctor at the end really annoyed me. I was like,
disgusting. I mean,
I think I want Aunt Lydia to die before Serena. I want Fred and Aunt Lydia to die the most.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she was there too. It opened the womb. God, this is God's plan. Like, get out of here.
Can we just, I don't mean to digress too much, but whenever I think about Lydia these days, all I can think about is her flashback and them fleshing her out and giving her a backstory. That was so paramount to me in terms of understanding who this woman was. But what I was talking to another young lady, another host today, and we were talking about the show, and I was saying that I don't understand how one incident of that caliber could take, like, remember she was in the bathroom, she's breaking mirrors.
Well,
and
yeah, it but took that's her to a the other whole other episode. I and that she was just, unfortunately,
I'll just say the woman commented, not everybody's that strong.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Strength never.
Does she have compassion? You have compassion for Aunt Lydia?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. Oh, no. On that note, let's go on to news and topics. News and gossip.
News and topics. Topics.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so my first piece of news is that it's actually Elizabeth Moss' birthday today.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
She turned 37 years old today, nice. And she is actually, she released a new movie. It's called Her Smell. Okay. It's I think it's out in Australia right now. I don't know if it's
in France.
Is that what that's in?
Yeah.
France. Girl, okay, France. It's out in France right now. I don't know when it's going to be dropping in the U.S., but Her Smell is a story about a fictional rock star named Becky something, which Elizabeth plays, and she brings brand awareness, whose band experiences, I'm so dyslexic today, whose band experiences brief fame, but is broken up by her self-destructive behavior.
Okay.
Sound a little
familiar? Yeah. I was about to say, I love that she has such great range, and then you describe the character.
No.
Never mind.
Okay.
But she is a good actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next, Ghost Draft is actually, Ghost Draft is actually going to be created by Chris Pratt. And our girl Serena, a.k.a. Yvonne Stravosky, will be playing in that. And it's about a man who was drafted in a fight in a future war, which forces him to confront his past. And Yvonne will play a woman Pratt meets in the future.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. And then I found something that was pretty interesting. It says, things that are wrong or that don't make sense in Handmaid's Tale. Gilead is based in Boston, but no one has a Boston accent. Apparently, women have perfect vision. No one has glasses or they don't allude to any contacts.
Doctor did.
No, women. But we see Emily get glasses when she goes to Canada.
Right. No, she had, like, they gave her new glasses, a better prescription.
No, she didn't have glasses.
Oh, she didn't have any at all? No. Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah. And then the women with the rings, they want to make sure they're healthy when they're pregnant, but they can't eat with that, so are they on a juice cleanse?
They fit tube. Yeah, probably
feeding tube. So that, and then last but not least, there was a Cosmo article about Madeline Brewer, and she talks about her character of Janine, and about how her character has progressed from now until currently. Mm-hmm. And she says that her character is not playing the victim anymore, and she's not afraid to call out things when she sees they're wrong because she has become stronger. And let's see, she's just like, all right, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay.
And it's a much more, but we're limited on time. If you guys want to check it out, though, the article is really good. It's on Bazaar.
Yep. All right, great. Thank you so much. And let's go right into Resist Sister.
Yes. Okay, so the Resist Sister of the week is actress Bella Thorne. She's a former Disney Channel star. What? No, you don't agree? I knew you'd say something, but hear me out, Adrian. So, did you hear about the interview she did?
No.
Let's go. All right, I'll tell the rest of them. She was promoting her book on ABC News, so, you know, big network. And she talked about being pansexual, which, you know, for those I wrote, I don't want to just give my opinion. I'm going to write down the definition. So it's pansexual is when you're attracted towards people regardless of their sex or gender identity.
Yeah, I know it's pansexual.
So I thought that was very interesting because in the past she had referred to herself as bisexual, and she has been with men and she has been with women, mm-hmm. and have open relationships, and she's very fluid in that way and very honest and open mm-hmm. to her fans, and mm-hmm. I think that that's great that she's not, you know, trying to hide who she is, mm-hmm. but she didn't have to use her platform to bring awareness, and I just think it's great that she's even using the term, you know, and finding out who she is, and mm-hmm. and I don't know. I thought it was great to bring attention to how things are not so simple. It's not just heterosexual, you know, bisexual, straight. Right, mm-hmm. exactly. So I thought she was my resist sister. Of the
cool.
week.
Bella
but
Thorne.
But no, I'm curious.
She has a history. Anyways,
we'll
okay.
talk after.
So
thank you for breaking down what pansexual is, though, because yeah. I literally did not understand. I thought when they say that, yeah. the meaning that I heard in times past was that I'm just attracted to anything. What does that mean? Like inanimate objects you're
well,
in love
no.
with? Like, no, seriously,
yeah,
I didn't understand.
Say, or attracted to like a personality, yeah. a lot of people say, and it doesn't matter yeah. if what gender or who.
So a trans yeah. person who yeah. became a transgender yeah. as a woman and still has men part, like none
no,
of that,
no,
that all that's
like,
irrelevant.
It's just a person. It's not necessarily about them being trans or cis. It's just that they are attracted, from what I've been told, kind of like sapiosexuality, and then we have to go into predictions. It's just that it's more about the mentality of the person and less about yeah. the physical,
gotcha.
Sexual parts of a person.
Okay.
So, and even when you're speaking about a trans person isn't just identified by their parts or whether or not
of course,
they're born.
Of course, of course.
As they're born. Okay, so let's go right into predictions.
Your After Buzz TV predictions.
Okay. Who's okay. Good? Am I right?
Yes.
So I predict that next week, June has to receive some type of consequences for her actions, and greater than just kneeling on the ground for a month. I don't know. I just see something coming cataclysmically wrong with all of her plans. I see it blowing up in her face, and it's just going to be a huge shit show.
I'm going to have to disagree. I think stuff is going to finally start coming together because of the muffins. I think the muffins mean that people are going to start, not necessarily helping her, but helping with the plan of getting children out, even if she's not the one to go with them, because she even said, I'm not leaving until I get Hannah. So I feel like that we're going to get a little more momentum on yeah. getting the kids out. But I think Serena is going to push harder with the phone. I think the phone is yeah. going to come
mm-hmm.
into play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I predict and hope that we are able to see a little bit more about how the Marthas work, how you brought up earlier, how they're sort of a little bit mysterious, mm-hmm. but I'd like to, you know, break in and see their network and their organization before we actually move in and start getting the kids out and all that stuff. But I also predict Fred losing it and just kind of, you know, really looking at Serena as if she is a traitor for even suggesting that he, you know, turn mm-hmm. in some way, and then that's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, I think Fred's definitely going to betray Serena, but I think at the same time he has an image to uphold, and so that doesn't mean that he's going to sacrifice her because he needs her in some capacity. He doesn't
sure.
necessarily need her to have all her fingers or even to be able to have a mouth, really. But at the same time, I think that's going to ignite Serena to finally turn officially on Fred, because that's going to be her breaking point, is the fact that he didn't fight hard enough for her quote-unquote daughter.
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps up this episode of The Handmaid's Tale on AfterBuzz
right.
TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And Veronica, where can they follow you?
At Veronica B online. Veronica, the letter B, online.
And you can find me on social media at LaurenTheTruth. Also, check out my website, lauren-patricia.com.
Yeah, my name's Kitty. K-I-T-T-I-E, last name K-A-B-O-O-M. Find me on Instagram, Kitty Kaboom, baby.
All right, that's it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you
next week.
Bye.
Same time, same channel.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.